Now Lazarus, the brother of Mary and her sister Martha, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Although Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha said, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face covered and wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And so here we have the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We have Jesus revealing to us that the plans he has sometimes happen for a bigger purpose. And sometimes those plans don't meet our expectations of how we feel things should have gone. Now, when Jesus was informed of Lazarus's illness, he was expected to be there at once. But John records that Jesus took 2 days where he was at, and he traveled for at least 2 more days to get to Bethany. And sometime during that period of time, from 4 to who knows how many days, Lazarus dies. Now, Lazarus wasn't some random stranger or the daughter of a centurion. This was a dear friend. Jesus had been in their homes. He had developed a personal relationship with them. And I'm sure that Mary and Martha expected Jesus to come when called. But he doesn't. He tells his disciples that this illness does not lead to death. but it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Even as Jesus said it, the disciples heard, Lazarus is going to die. His suffering is for God's glory. Did this expectation, this interpretation match their reality? No. You know, we live in a part of the country with very diverse religious understandings. Most of us, at least in the United Methodist tradition, believe that death is a part of life. Whether we face the loss of a loved one or we face our own end, death is a reality we all face. And yet there are Christian brothers and sisters who believe that with faith, we can overcome even the greatest of disease. Pray, and pray hard with faith, and God will grant the cure that God wishes for you. And if you succumb to the disease or the injury, perhaps your faith wasn't enough. Now, the problem with this and the teaching of the faith healers is that often we are asking God to suspend the laws of nature. And how far do we go with that? I do believe before anybody, and I know somebody's already thinking it because I'm thinking it, I believe that God does heal. I believe that God does miraculous things even today and now and even here. But some people can go a bit far. Lord, I know my spine is broken, but if it is your will, you can heal me and make me walk again. I'm not saying that God isn't still in the business of miracles, but we aren't creatures with the capacity to regrow limbs. And that puts us in judgment, not of God, but of our neighbor who says, your faith must have been weak. But God's plans do not always equate to a lack of love for us. Both Martha and Mary expressed the same sentiment. If you had only been here, Jesus, our brother would not have died. Even when Jesus was many miles away, he was with Lazarus. God is always with his children. Jesus' physical presence isn't required to bring healing. In another story, he heals a child of a centurion merely based on the faith of the father. Now, I want to tell you something profound, something that you may not even believe, but God loves you with a love so much more than we can express or even feel for ourselves. And that's not the biggest thing. As the author Brennan Manning wrote and taught, God not only loves you, he genuinely likes you. And there's a major difference between those two things. You know, we're expected to love everyone. Jesus taught it. God expects it. Like it or not, that is at the heart of being a Christ follower. And yes, it is hard at times. Not only are we supposed to love the ones that are easy, like our spouses, our children, our friends, our neighbors, but especially those we love. to hate. And some of us do love to hate. But Jesus said, you've heard it, that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I can easily, very easily read into that teaching that unless you love your enemies, you may not be a child of your Father. We are not doing what God expects. The key, and it's all through our Bible, is love. God's love, without bounds, without hesitation. And he expects no less from us. And if Jesus doesn't come on the double and heal you in your time, it's not due to a lack of love for you. He has his eyes on you at all times. And whether you have him in your heart, know that you are in his. And in the middle of this passage, part that I kind of skipped over to give you the Reader's Digest version is a verse that almost every one of you know by heart. Jesus wept. And why do you know that? Because it's the cheat that you use for scripture memorization in Sunday school. I want you to memorize a verse from the Bible and come back next week and be able to quote it. And inevitably, someone walks in and says, Jesus wept. Okay, you get a pass on this one. You know, that passage says Jesus began to weep. Some said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could he not open the eyes of the blind man and not kept this man from dying? Jesus' compassion was that of a man being fully human, but he was also fully God. And I believe that the same God has compassion for us even today. That Jesus weeps for us and with us still. In the story, he wasn't weeping because he had failed Lazarus. He was crying with those who were weeping, and in particular, Mary. You know, I believe that even when we are in that quiet place that we go to allow ourselves to open up and pour ourselves out, even in tears, that God is there. And I believe that God is swayed by the sincerity of our tears. And if God loves you, and I think we've established that is true, God feels for you. He hurts for you. And yes, I believe that not only he feels your pain, but he connects to it just as surely as Jesus did. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and he commands us to walk out of our own tombs, our tombs of self-loathing and self-abuse. He commands you to put aside your own demands, your own expectations, your own addictions, your own pain, and to feel his love for you. And that's where healing begins. You know, it's easy to fear death and disease. I want to tell this story so bad. It'll take a minute. You know, we have a zoo. We have animals, all kinds of animals. And one of the hobbies that I share with one of my daughters is little eight-legged, furry creatures that some people are now going, I see you. No. We went to a trade show, me and Abby, where they buy and sell the little four-legged kind, the kind that have no legs, and then these little eight-legged ones that kind of move like this. And she picked this one out because it had webbed up its container to the point where you couldn't hardly find it. And she just said, that's what I want. And so, I'm the good dad. I don't say, do your research first. Go ahead, you've got the money. You can get this. We get in the car and I pull up my cell phone and I'm like, oh my gosh. No. This is one that experts say I will not have in my collection. And I start reading ahead, and it's like lightning fast. It's like the cheetah in the arachnid world. And it's like the kind that loves to be, they don't just hide, they'll seek you out. And they won't just rear their back end up and say, I'm upset. They'll just go right with the fangs. And this particular one, if it bites you, and it will bite you, according to what I read, we'll put you in the hospital. And so I'm sitting there going, what have we got ourselves into? Well, of course, you're in this little flimsy plastic container, and we've already planned on bringing home a friend, so we had its forever home sitting there waiting for it. And that evening, when Abby wasn't present, I said, I'm going to spare her this. It would just kill me if something happened to her, even if it's just, you know, a scratch. And so I'm in there with the little plastic container and these tongs that are about this long. And I'm like, come on. Come on, little buddy. It's going to be okay. This little friend, I'm not exaggerating, climbed up the tongs, up my arm, over my shoulder, and down my back in less than 2 seconds. It was zoom. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. My daughter and my wife will tell you that Scott has the capacity to sing like a soprano. I squealed out things that I could never imagine coming out of my own mouth. And somebody asked me, well, how did you do it? Well, I turned into the Incredible Hulk and I took my shirt and I threw it down on the ground. And there in the middle of that shirt is that spider who I said the word. And it's like, what now? In comes Abby. Come on, that's it. You know, you will almost never, ever, ever hear these words from my lips. Because there is almost nothing in this world that I'm afraid of. There are little things. Put me looking over the precipice of a great cliff, and yes, I'm going to be a little nervous, pretty scared probably. I am terrified of this little creature. Not because I'm afraid of going to the hospital, but because it is a reminder of my own frailty, of the possibilities of what could be. And parts of my life I don't want to face at this part of my life. Now, I trust that if something happened, God would provide healing. But according to what I read online, it would be healing that would come after much suffering. Jesus does heal. God does heal. But for me to expect healing to come in my way is putting a pretty high demand on the God that has nothing but love for me. I don't have the answers, but I believe that when we seek healing, that we need to seek healing of our spiritual person first. And if we seek that healing of our spirit, the mind will follow. And where the mind goes, the body also follows. And that's where surrender must happen. To surrender our spirits to be more Christ-like and let that shape our whole being. Healing might not come as we require, but healing will happen in God's way and in God's time. But I believe it begins with that surrender. Surrender your life to Him and continue as He and you both shape that life into something more Christ-centered and more Christ-like. You know, there's a saying that's become cliche. I've got four sentences ahead of me. But that cliche is, let go and let God. And I love what it says. But like anything else that we come up that's kind of catchy, we run it down its path. Let go and let God. Jesus said, those who give up their lives for the sake of the gospel will gain life. Won't you follow where Jesus leads? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.